Yeah, so the voter registration deadline is October 11th at 4 p.m. So a lot of the deadlines are usually at 11:59 p.m., but this one's a little bit unusual in that it's in the middle of the day. So people just want to be aware of that. And they can register to vote at govoteky.com. It's the Secretary of State's voting portal, and it's super easy. It really takes less than 2 minutes. And we encourage everybody to actually double check their voter registration just to make sure that the address is correct, everything is up to date, because if you don't, then there, you may run into problems on election day. And then, you know, because of this deadline that's, you know, you can't do same day voter registration, then you run the risk of not being able to vote if there's, you know, a serious problem with your registration. So it's just always a good practice to double check that registration, even if you have been voting for years.
Hmm. And I think you, so what's the way to do that? Can you go online to do that?
Yeah. So you can register to vote online at govoteky.com.
Okay. But in terms of checking, like you got me thinking about, you know, I've gone to the same place to vote and, you know, I never really thought about it, but so you can also go online and check and make sure you are still registered, that nothing's happened.
Yes. And also another thing is that the redistricting process happened in 2020, right? So this last legislative session, they passed the maps. And so, I mean, it was based on census data from 2020. Sorry, let me restate that. And so you may be used to being in a certain like congressional district, but you may actually be voting for different, like a different district than you used to in the past. So you can also check that and find out which districts you're going to be voting for, because they may have changed. You know, those districts get changed every 10 years. So even though your precinct and where you're going to go vote will be the same, then who you're voting for may be different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what you just said, so this is the, I mean, would it have come into play in the primary too then, I guess, would it?
Yeah. But you know, a lot of people did not vote in the primary. So right. Yeah, in Lexington, only 1 out of 5 registered voters actually voted. Actually less than that. It was only 19%. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people probably, you know, didn't, in effect, like, notice that. So
mm-hmm. right okay. And as far as registration, I don't know, do you does the league I'll say keep up with or monitor how many people are registering? Like, for instance, if there's been an increase in registration, you know, over the last year, do you keep up with that kind of thing?
I should. I know that there was, you know, I don't know the numbers off the top of my head, but I know that there was, I think they've been going through and fixing voter rolls, and I think there was like an increase in registration that was discrepant between the two parties, but I don't quote me on the numbers, because I don't know that off the top of my head.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. And I guess I'm thinking, I know, before I was recording, you were talking about the Amendment 2, there's been some, I don't know, I guess you'd call it talk or comments about that issue may prompt more interest, may prompt more people to register to vote. I mean, I don't know. Do you think that's happening?
Yeah, I think so. But on the other hand, I also think a lot of people are not aware of these amendments. And so I know that some of the other volunteers that work with the league, when they're out in the community talking about these things, like, people are a little bit surprised that this is coming on the ballot. And so I think it's really important for people to understand exactly what's on the ballot ahead of time, because the language of both Amendment 1 and Amendment 2 can be confusing. And so it's important to kind of understand exactly what you're being asked to vote on and what the ramifications of that vote are going to mean. And the other issue is that they're at the very bottom of the ballot. So there are a lot of races that are going to be on this ballot. And there's tons of judicial races, you know, council races, all kinds of things that are going to make the ballot very long. So it's going to take some, I guess, voting endurance to make it all the way to the bottom. And I know sometimes people will just vote for, like, you know, the higher up offices on the ballot and then just call it a day. But it's really important to vote for every single thing that's on the ballot, but not just voting, but learning about who's on the ballot and understanding exactly what you're voting for. And the league has a nonpartisan online voting guide, vote411.org, where we are sending out questionnaires to all the candidates so you can learn about the candidates. We also, for areas where we're able to hold candidate forums, so like I know definitely in Lexington and in Louisville, there's also links to candidate forums. And of course, the more volunteers that we have, the more that we can provide those services to all over the state. We have been trying to expand coverage for our Vote 411 online voter guide to across the state. And so we're really mobilizing volunteers right now to be able to make that happen too.
Okay. Yeah, and I guess I did want to ask again about the Amendment 2 and why the league is taking a position on that.
Yeah, so the League of Women Voters is a nonpartisan organization, so we don't support candidates or political parties, but we do take stances and advocate for on behalf of issues. And really, the League of Women Voters has had a strong tradition of believing that all U.S. residents should have access to affordable and quality health care, and including the right to have privacy to make reproductive choices. And so, you know, this amendment too is really asking people to give up any potential constitutional right that they may have to privacy in terms of reproductive choices that would be afforded to them by the Kentucky Constitution. And so that's a big shift. And so that's definitely something that we've decided to take a position on, because it's government overreach in terms of people's health care. These decisions are very complicated, and it really should be decisions that are made, you know, privately between you and your medical provider, and so it's really not, you know, it's not a place for the government to really be involved with that decision making.
Okay, and as far as I'll say getting people to vote or just what spurring people on, what. Is there, I guess, in 2022, what can be done about that? I mean, is there anything different that can be done to have more people vote?
Well, that's always the big question, right? So, and I think that, you know, we've been trying to mobilize young people. So we've been on college campuses and even just starting education with high schoolers about like what it really means when people don't vote. And so we're just trying to get the word out there. And I think the voting process can be intimidating because people don't know who to vote for, right? So, or they don't know how it works. You know, voting now is actually somewhat easier than it's been in the past because in addition to having voting on election day, which is November 8th from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Everybody can also vote early on November 3rd, 4th, and 5th. And it'll depend on your county, but I believe that there's a polls have to be open for like an 8-hour window between certain times. So in that you'll need to check with your county clerk about when exactly those times are going to be for your county. But the great thing about this is that it opens opportunity for Saturday voting. So people who may be working during the week or are unable to get away from some responsibilities to take time off to vote, that Saturday option on November 5th is available. And then there's also, there's basically four ways to vote in this election. So, of course, Election Day, the 3 days of early voting, and then there's 6 days of what's called in-person absentee excused voting. They don't name these things in ways that are easy to remember. Basically, if you have an excuse and you cannot vote on Election Day and you cannot vote during any of the times of early voting, then you can vote during the business days starting October 26th through the 28th, and then the weekend no voting, and then the 3 days of the following week, the 31st, November 1st, and 2nd. Those are early voting with an excuse. And there's a long list of excuses. It's not very straightforward, but we have all of that information laid out on our website at lwvky.org. And then the fourth way is mail-in voting. And you also have to have an excuse for that. So that's a little bit different than people's experience may have been in the 2020 election, where you still technically by law had to have an excuse, but everybody's excuse was that there was a global pandemic. So again, there's for this type of mail-in voting, there's also a separate list of excuses that is similar, but not exactly the same as for the in-person absentee excuse voting. So anyway, you also have to like check that list to see if you're eligible. If you are and you want a mail-in ballot, then you have to request that by October 25th. October 25th by 11:59 p.m. Mm-hmm. And so it's a kind of order of priority. People are probably going to vote on Election Day or take advantage of those 3 days of early voting. That's when everybody can vote. You don't have to worry about the excuse or, you know. So it's just pretty easy. But people do need to remember to bring their photo ID, because that is a relatively new law. Campus ID works, but it has to be issued. Most of your IDs will need to be issued by the state or federal government. Driver's license, passport, those are the common things. A student ID from your university or secondary school will work. If you have an ID for high school, that's not going to work. And it can be expired. So that's an important point as well. That it doesn't matter if your ID is expired. It's really about identifying a picture with a name, and, you know, letting people know that's who you are.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Jen, I got one more question. There was an NPR story, I guess it actually ran a couple times this morning, about voting and trends, I guess, and the comment in the story was that African Americans and the term young people are more apt to not vote. What can be done about that?
Yeah, that is definitely a problem. And so, again, I think it's engaging people early. So once people establish a habit of voting, like if they go to vote in the first election that they're eligible for, they're more likely to vote again. And so I think preparing people and, you know, going to high schools, teaching people about the voting process, parents bringing their kids with them to go vote as a kind of a normalizing activity. And then also beyond college campuses is helpful. But really it's about spreading the word within within your community. I hear a lot of people say that their vote doesn't matter, or they feel like that the candidates that are not like representing what they want. And so, you know, it's kind of this attitude of like, well, if we have candidates that represent what we want, then we'll vote. But, you know, if you're not showing up to vote, candidates are not going to cater to you, right? Like they want to get people who are voting. So it's really, you know, it's kind of like who's going to make the first step, but it's really important for people to go vote. And then when candidates see that you're part of a demographic that is really coming out in droves, then they're going to start, you know, really making sure that they're paying attention. Right. So, I think a lot of people, I don't know. I think maybe primary election is a time when people don't get out to vote, unfortunately. But, you know, some of the races were determined in the primary election. You know, a lot of people see that as kind of just like, oh, this is just a prequel to the main event that's coming in November. But some of the races were decided in that election because there was not an opponent for the fall election. So I don't know. I don't know what the answer is, but we just try to equip people with information to help them feel more comfortable with the process, to help them make an informed decision. And we're trying to leverage a lot of relational organizing to get people to talk with their friends and family about it. You know, a lot of people assume like, oh, well, my friends vote or whatever, but they may not necessarily, you know, they may get busy or not make it a priority. So encouraging people to have a voting buddy. So somebody that you're kind of like, okay, we're going to go vote, and, you know, checking in with each other, make sure that you've each voted is a great thing to do. It's kind of like accountability, right? Having an exercise partner. So that can be helpful too, but I really encourage people to be talking with their friends and family about these issues that are on the ballot, and some of them may require some vulnerable conversations about what some of these things may mean for you as an individual.